Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, and we are joined again by guest host, Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Kingsford, Michigan. Wynn, it's always good to have you when you can be with us.
Thanks for the privilege.
Well, we're right in the middle of a series that we're entitling Living Your Faith in the Midst of a Faithless World. And we've been, for the last number of broadcasts, studying the life of a man that is mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the life of Noah. Doc, you described his life as literally being lived in a parenthesis. And that parenthesis was living by faith. And that's how all of us ought to live. And we've been talking about what that actually looks like when we try to put shoes on it in each of our own lives. And we noted that the basis of that kind of a life had to come from the Word of God, literally believing what God says. Doc, you said a very simple definition of faith that I think would be worth repeating here.
I just defined it as I believe God. If you try to add anything to that, it gets complicated. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in thee, Lord, with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding.
Well, the word that destroys that is the word but. I believe God, but.
And then it gets complicated.
Yeah.
Because we add our thinking to that, and when we add our reasoning instead of obedience.
And that does create all kinds of fear.
It sure does.
And then net throws faith out the window because that easily overcomes us.
So the basis of all of this is believing what God said in His Word. But that leads then to an expression. When we actually believe God, we come back to the expression of that, and that's worship. And we talked about the fear of God. We went to Deuteronomy 5 and looked at the three aspects of what it really means to fear God, to have awe of His character and to obey His commands and at times to suffer His consequences for a lack of obedience. So there really is a tremendous truth there that we've been looking at as we evaluate our own lives. We've got to live this way in our day. And that leads then to the third and the fourth thing that we see about Noah's life. This basis of a belief in God's word that was expressed in worship shows up then in an activity, and it is demonstrated eventually to others in a word. So maybe, Doc, you could talk to us a little bit about the activity of a life of faith.
We see warned, moved, now we see prepared. Prepared an ark. In this word, we see work. That is what sometimes is missing in this generation, a work ethic. You're familiar with when we meet with freshmen and their parents when they're coming in, and I always prepare the freshmen and the parents that there is a new level of living called work. I said, some of you freshmen didn't realize the sun came up slowly because it's always been there when you got up. I said, it's going to be different here. That big orange thing coming up over the trees, you're going to have an RA explain what that is. And I said, some of you think that manual labor is the president of Mexico. And I said, that's going to change because this generation doesn't always relate to a work ethic.
So how does work show up with the idea of faith?
Well, Noah prepared an ark.
So he actually went out and did something.
The activity of faith. The ark did not build itself. I was in Moncton, New Brunswick, where some of our graduates have planted a church up there, preached there that Sunday, a beautiful new building. I said, how did the building get here? Well, we went to Tim Hortons and prayed.
That's a coffee shop.
Tim Hortons. Those of you who are familiar with Tim Hortons, they're creeping into the United States now, but there's one every 100 yards in Canada. And you went to Tim Hortons and prayed. Nothing happened. Met in a half hour earlier the next day. Nothing happened. Finally, somebody asked you questions. How are you believing God's going to give you a building? And you say, by faith. Well, what about work? Well, we hadn't factored that in. We were believing God would drop a building on us. God did not drop the ark out of the sky. He worked 120 years putting that. It was the demonstration of His faith, the activity of His faith. And when you look at the buildings where you will worship this coming Sunday, you look around you, and it was work. It was prayer. It was giving. It was an activity that by faith, I got my checkbook out by faith. I made the commitment to be on the volunteer crew. By faith, I went and ran the electrical, and you end up with a building. But it was all motivated by the fact that God wants us to fulfill the Great Commission. He wants His glory manifest to this world in the local church assembly, and therefore we work to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back to what we believe. Has God told us to do this or not?
And if we don't think God said it, then we're just going to watch.
Will we participate when we have limited funds or when we have limited time? Are we going to believe what God said when he said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory? It really does come back to, are we going to believe what God said or not?
And then what did his work do? When he was working, the fourth step we have is he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness. So we see, what did he do? His work became a witness to the world. When a Christian begins demonstrating what he has already declared in his mind, he becomes a witness to the watching mm-hmm. world. And it was Noah's obedience that put the world in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean Noah condemned the world? He couldn't condemn the world. His obedience to God's command put the world in the wrong. What does an obedient Christian do today? He was working, getting up at 7 in the morning, getting the family ready, going to the morning worship service, going to Sunday school, and then goes to Wednesday night, gets involved in Awana programs, gets involved in teaching kids in VBS, and the neighbors are watching this demonstration of their faith. This is a worshiping person who is living by the Word of God, who is working to demonstrate. And people say a little bit nuts, but that obedience will put the world in the wrong.
Well, and I think that's what's so hard for many, many of us in a modern day and age. You hit it right on the money, Doc, when you talked about a work ethic, because that follows right over into our religious life. We want a Christianity that's not too complicated and not too hard. Hey, we'll go Sunday morning. And Wednesday night, we don't really need Wednesday. We're busy. And I mean, there's 101 things that get in the way. And bottom line, when our witness is absolutely zero, it's not because God isn't wanting to do something, but we're not demonstrating anything because we're not working.
The bottom line is, when I don't show up for Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'm demonstrating that I don't believe God ordained the local church. I'm demonstrating that I am apart from the local church. So consequently, the body of believers is there, but that's not for me because I am at such a level up here. These poor people who have not attained my level yet, God hasn't given them that exception that he has given me, that because I'm at such a place that I can choose not to. What does this do? The world watches this demonstration. Let me ask you a question. New Testament parallel. Who did God choose to make his declarations to the world about the gospel?
Foolish people.
Foolish mm-hmm. people. Galileans, most despised people in the world. Now, the movement became so earth-shattering that the Pharisees gathered together, we've got to stop this, so they go to Gamaliel. Who was Gamaliel?
Leading rabbi of the day.
They said, you've got to do something. What was his training background? What was his degree in?
Well, he had a degree in the law.
Doctor of law. And so, obviously, in his background, he begins to go back, and in his mind of being expert in the law that God had given, these people come and said, stop this. He said, well, be careful. He said, you remember when Thutis came along? He got this great following. He came to naught. Remember when Judas of Galilee came along, case number two? They got this big following. They came to naught. And he said, be careful how you handle this. What he was saying is, it's highly unlikely what you're seeing now is of man. And then he says, but if it be of God, he goes, A plus the indicative, which is translated since. Since this is of God, you cannot stop it, or you will find yourself fighting God himself. He said, be careful. And I believe simple fishermen put the mind of the highest intellectual to a different mode, to saying what we're seeing now has never been demonstrated before. So from declaration to demonstration.
All along the way, they were described as the ones that were foolish, and it was the foolishness of preaching in contrast to the person who had had the greatest, wisest, most knowledge.
Let me put my pastor's hat on here because, you know, I see this in my own life, and I know you see this in your church as well. You know, Doc, you're around churches. I guarantee you've run into this. But we have a generation that has chosen to believe selectively about God and his word, And what's happening is their life is demonstrating that selectivity. And so they basically are Christians of convenience, and where it shows up is in their kids. The people in the world that I want most to see come to Christ are my own children. Mm-hmm. And the people in the world that I want most to serve God when they're my age are my son and my daughter. And I know all of us feel that way. Mm-hmm. But because of the way we work in our Christian life, and I don't mean like we're working to earn salvation, but I like the way you've said it, Doc. The activity of our faith has to show up. Our faith has to produce an activity. And our lack of faith produces an activity.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work for something. We're either going to work for this world's goods and our own pleasures, or we're going to work for the great cause of God. And that's going to be based on what we choose to believe about God's word. And I have seen young people who, when they turn 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, just completely turn away from God and turn away from the faith, not because they haven't heard it from church or because they haven't heard it from the mouth of mom or dad, but because they see mom or dad living for something else. And all of a sudden, you have parents that drop their kids off on Wednesday night. You have parents that bring them to church on Sunday morning and send them to church on Sunday night. And then all of a sudden, when those kids are old enough, they don't want to go to youth group anymore. They don't want to go to church anymore. And mom and dad come and go, we got to have help. How do you recapture moral ground that you've lost when you're not even there?
They bring them to you and say, fix them.
The formula that he used to use, you take a child from a home where both mom and dad are lost, you have a good chance of nurturing that child to maturity.
Hmm.
Home from a child where one parent is saved and inconsistent, you have half a chance. Child from a home where both mom and dad are saved and inconsistent, you have almost no chance. So the ideal is both saved and consistent. And then you have a team working together. You have the three legs of the stool working together. It's a work that shows my hands-on. It's a witness that shows my belief is demonstrated.
Yeah.
Makes a declaration. And this is the victory, it says in 1 John 5:5, that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Well, Doc, this has been a very, very compelling, encouraging, and somewhat convicting broadcast. And as we close our series, Living Our Faith in a Faithless World, we're going to end with the reward for all of this, because there is a reward. But you'll have to wait until the next broadcast to hear about that reward. And I hope that you'll join us as we come back together one final time in this series, Living Our Faith in a Faithless World. You can catch all of the broadcasts in this series at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.